What a fun day to spend with each one of you. Thank you so much for being here. And I'm excited for the rest of the day. We're just halfway through, so get ready. I just turned 40 this year in February. I know you're thinking, what? 28 at least. I know. But that probably means I've been to about 40 Easters because my parents pastored growing up, so whether I wanted to be there or not, I was at church. And I can remember those mornings just like this, knowing there was going to be an egg hunt after church. I couldn't wait till my dad was through talking just so I could go out and hunt some eggs. And hoping for that prize egg to win the big prize, which they usually didn't want the pastor's son to do. So most of the time, that was not even an option. But I remember several times over the years bringing my friends to church with me. And my goal when bringing friends to church, obviously we like to talk or play. They kept me occupied in church. So my goal was to sit on the very back row so that nobody could see us and we could fool around or write notes or draw or whatever we wanted to do without anybody seeing us. There was only one flaw in that plan. There was one guy that could see us, and I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about my dad. And I remember the look. That's all it took. I remember the look. As we would be acting up on the back row, he would stop preaching, and he would give me the look. And it was not a good look. My behind would begin to tingle thinking about what was going to happen when I got home. Based on that look. It's amazing the difference that look made. My countenance changed, my attitude changed because of that look. It's the difference authority makes. This morning I want to talk about the difference. The difference. The difference between us and Jesus. You know, he was human. He breathed air like you and I. He walked like you and I. The difference is that he overcame death. He died. But it didn't stop there. He has risen and he overcame death. And today, as we look at this story, I want to look at this story through the life of Peter and what Peter experienced during the death and resurrection of Jesus. So turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 5. And we'll begin reading in verse 4 in just a moment. Luke chapter 5. Because we're looking at the life of Peter, I'm going to use scriptures from Luke, Matthew, and John. I'm going to throw them all up here so it's going to seem like I'm bouncing around. I use all three Gospels to kind of tell the story of Peter. So you'll have to bear with me, but I will have it on the screen for you as we go. But to set this up, Peter was a fisherman. And he and his buddies had been out fishing all night long. They had caught nothing. And they had just brought their boats in to the shore and were cleaning their nets. And Jesus is on the shore speaking to a crowd of people. And the crowd began to grow. They began to crush in on Jesus and kind of crowd him. So he decided to go over to one of these boats. He hopped in and he said, "Take me out into the water so that I can teach." To which Peter did. And this is where I want to pick up. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. And when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Now this was a miracle. And here's why. These fish that they're catching at night, the reason these fishermen were fishing at night was because at night it was cooler, so the fish would come to the more shallow water where the nets could reach them. The nets only went so far out of the boat, so they had to be able to reach the fish. So that's why they fished at night. This is during the day, and the fish have migrated out into the deeper water. But notice Jesus said, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." But think about it, these nets are only so long. Did he have a fish finder? No. He just knew, he performed a miracle in this moment, that when they threw their nets down, they would have a huge catch. What a miracle! And he used this miracle to compel them to say this, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That day, they became his disciples. That's the day Peter began to follow Jesus. Many of us in this room have had that opportunity before to follow Jesus. I think we're going to find that we relate to Peter as I go through this story. I know I can. And I think many of us can. So after much time of following Jesus, witnessing many miracles that he performed here on this earth, Jesus is preparing the disciples for what's about to happen, for what we're celebrating today. So look now in Matthew 26. Matthew 26, we're going to begin reading in verse 31. Jesus begins to prepare the disciples and he says, then Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, here he is, he's setting them up. Hey guys, I'm going to die. But after I've risen, he's letting them know it's going to happen. I will go ahead of you into Galilee. And Peter replies with this, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Look at your neighbor and say, I never will. How many of us have made that declaration before? If you're taking notes this morning, number one is the declaration. Peter made a declaration. Jesus is probably thinking, which part of all do you not understand, Peter? I just said all of you will fall away from me. So he answers Peter like this. Truly, I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter, here it is, declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. When it comes to talking to God, how many of us have made a promise? How many of us have made a promise we didn't keep? God, I will never talk to her that way again. I will never look at those images again, only to find ourselves back in that moment. I think we can relate to Peter when we look at this. So let's see what happens to Peter in Matthew 26, verse 69. After he's declared that he will not deny Jesus. Verse 69 of Matthew 26. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. And then he went out of the gateway, where another servant girl saw him, and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you're one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, I don't know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed. If you're taking notes, number two is the denial. We have the declaration. Now we have the denial. And can you imagine what Peter is feeling the moment he hears the rooster crow? I don't think he was saying, must be morning. There's a rooster. This was no coincidence. The moment he denied Jesus for the third time, the rooster crowed. Now, you'll have to forgive me. I have a weird imagination. I see it in Connor now all the time. He has a great imagination. But I'm picturing this rooster at sunrise. Just like every morning, he's ready to just wake everybody up with this big crow, and he throws his chest out, and it's like, and there's nothing there. And he's like, okay, something's wrong here. I've got to try this again, because he's got this urge, and there's nothing there. And then all of a sudden, at a random part of the day, when he least expects it, here it comes, it builds up, and it's like, boom, there it is for everybody to hear. And he's like, oh, I feel so much better. The mind of a rooster. I'm sorry. That's where I went. But imagine what Peter is thinking in that moment. What have I done? Just a few verses before, I said, if all fall away, I will never, even unto death. How many times have we made that promise? You know what? It gets worse. If you look in Luke, you don't have to turn there. Luke chapter 22, verse 60, and we'll throw it up here. This is the third time Peter's denying Jesus, and this is Luke's account of this. He says, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. But look at verse 61. Here's the horrible part. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Can you imagine that look? The look that he got. The shame that he felt. The embarrassment. He had said this in front of all his friends. The difference a look can make. We can all relate to this. Maybe you've never said those words of denying Jesus. Maybe it happened in your actions. "I will never do it again. This is the last time, I promise." Only to find yourself there again. Titus 1:16 says this. "They claim to know God, but that by their actions they deny Him. They're detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing good." Peter, the same man that's known as a pillar of the church. In Matthew 16:16, Jesus had asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And he said, "I say you're the Son of the living God." And Jesus said this, "I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you." The same man who Jesus told that to is the one who denied Him. Can you imagine the questions running through Peter's mind? Jesus is gone. I'm sure he was questioning his salvation. Am I saved? I have no hope. Who do I turn to? He's gone. I can't even say I'm sorry. He's gone. So look at what Peter does. If this were a movie, this is the turnaround in the story. This is where it starts getting good. After feeling so awful and not knowing what to do, he's questioning everything in his mind. He's dealing with the reality that Jesus is dead. But I want you to see what he does. In John 21, 2 through 6, it talks about all the disciples are together. They're probably discussing what has just happened. What do we do next? And Peter just comes up and says, "You know what? I'm going fishing." As to say, "I'm going back to what I know. I messed up. I don't deserve to follow Jesus. I've totally screwed things up, so I'm going back to what I know. I'm just going to go back and go fishing." Because the person who loses their vision of the future will always return to their past. I'll say it again. The person who loses sight of the future will always return to what they know, to what they're comfortable with, to their past. So if you're taking notes, here's the difference. Here's what made the difference. Jesus died on a cross. He was in the tomb for 3 days, and then He rose. But after He rose, He sees Mary and Martha, and this is what He tells them in Mark chapter 16. You don't have to read it. He tells them, "Go tell Peter and the disciples what has happened." Okay, why did He say Peter and the disciples? Because Peter was a disciple. Why didn't He just say, "Go tell the disciples what has happened"? Peter wasn't the leader of the disciples. He just was Peter. But He wanted to assure him he was still a disciple. Jesus didn't forget about him. He didn't throw him to the side. He didn't give up on him. And remember, Peter's questioning everything at this moment. He's out fishing with the guys. He didn't know what else to do, so he went fishing. Here's the cool part. John chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. It says, "They went out, got in the boat, but they caught nothing." Same scenario as last time. Went out, got in the boat, they caught nothing. Does this sound familiar? Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. Remember, He's already died, He's risen, and He's standing on the shore. But the disciples do not realize that it's Jesus. So here we sit with these guys in the boat, fishing all night, caught nothing, just like the last time. And Jesus is standing there, and He yells out, "Catch any fish?" John and Peter think it's just a villager. "Nope, haven't caught anything." So the person on the side of the shore says, "Try the other side." To which they do. Why not? They throw their nets over, and the nets are full of fish again. The exact same miracle that Jesus performed the first time when he told Peter, follow me. He's doing the exact same miracle again. Peter doesn't even realize it. He's pulling in the catch. He's trying to get the net in. And all of a sudden, John looks over and he says, it's Jesus. And I love this response. They're in a boat. It says they're about 100 yards off the shore. And what does Peter do? He just jumps in the water and starts swimming to Jesus. That's all he knew to do. It's kind of a Forrest Gump kind of thing. Anybody ever watch that show? You know, and I think it's Lieutenant Dan. He just all of a sudden just dives in the water and starts swimming away. You don't even know where he's going. It was just weird. That's Peter. Jesus is on the shore, and all he knows to do is jump in the water and swim to him. Why? Because this wasn't just Jesus, their teacher. This was Jesus, the one who had conquered death, hell, and the grave. It was the King of Kings, and what he had promised had come true. He had risen, and Peter wanted to see him, and he wanted to talk to him. This is a story of restoration. It's a story of redemption, and it doesn't stop here. It says when they landed, see, the boat was going to see Jesus anyway. Peter could have stayed in the boat and they all could have just went together, but he swam. So it says the boat went to shore, and when they had landed, they saw a fire burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of your fish that you have just caught. I love the fact that he just performed the exact same miracle that he had done the first time. This story of redemption and this moment when he got to speak with Peter, I'm sure it set Peter's mind at ease for him to say, it's okay, I know what you've done. You know what? I died for your failure. It's okay because I rose again so that you can start over. And church, whoever you are in this room, and no matter what you've done and no matter how many promises you've made to Jesus, he died for your failure. And he rose again so that you can start again. Can you say amen to that? That's why we're here today. Jesus is saying, it's okay. I'm here today to set you free. And the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means what Peter received on the shore that day, you can receive this morning. The exact same redemption. The story doesn't stop there. They sit down and they have some breakfast. And I'm sure they had a lot of questions to ask Jesus. What's it like being dead? Can you imagine? Asking all kinds of questions. Where have you been for these 3 days? John chapter 21, verse 15 says this. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And Peter's response was, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. To where Jesus says, feed my lambs. A second time, Jesus asked him a question. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, tend my sheep. A third time. Is this coincidence? A third time. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? The third time, Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus is not asking this because he doubts Peter. He's saying to Peter, I know you love me, but do you know? Do you understand that you can still follow me? You're still one of mine, and I love you as much as I ever did because I died for your failures. And where you're doubting, you don't have to doubt anymore. Church, wherever you're at today, whatever you're doubting, Jesus loves you. He has not given up on you, and you can receive the same as Peter. Jesus wanted Peter to love him so supremely as to forsake all that was familiar, to forget about the boats, forget about the nets, forget about the fish, exclusively be devoted to being a fisher of men. After Peter said, Jesus, you know all things. You know that I love you. This is Jesus' response in John 21:18. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself. That means you dressed yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you or dress you and carry you where you do not wish. Then he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, listen to the words he said to Peter. Follow me. Follow me. The same words that he asked him the first time. In Luke chapter 5, when Jesus performed the miracle with the fish, and he said, follow me. Church, he's restoring Peter. And your life can be changed today, not because of anything you do. The difference today is not anything Peter did. He didn't deserve this. He didn't earn this. He didn't do anything to get it. All the difference was because of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And through that death, that made the difference for Peter. And Jesus says this in Matthew 16:24. He says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. As we bring this to a close today, one of Peter's downfalls before denying Jesus, one of the things that led to him, that first denial even, one of the biggest mistakes he made, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 58, it says, as Jesus was being led to the courtyard, that Peter followed at a distance. The fact that he followed at a distance. Church, my first question today is, are you following Jesus? Can you say yes to that question? And then my next question would be, how closely are you following Jesus? Because the further back you get from Jesus, the easier it is to deny Him. The further back you stay from Jesus, the easier it is to go back to your old ways. The easier it is to make wrong decisions. If you will stay by Jesus, if you will follow Him closely, you will find yourself with the strength to keep going, the strength to make right decisions, the strength to follow Him in the right way. Are you willing to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him? You know, the Scripture tells us that Peter did die because honoring Jesus. He was crucified. But in that moment, he told them, I want to be hung upside down. Do not even crucify me like Jesus, because I don't deserve to be killed in the same way. So he was crucified upside down. The same person that denied Jesus had that love and devotion to Jesus to be willing to die for him. But not only that, but to honor him and how he died. And the same Peter we're talking about, look at what he did in Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I give to you, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he healed a lame man. The same Peter that we're talking about, it says in Acts chapter 5:15, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches. Look at this. That at least the shadow of Peter passing by could fall on some of them. What's the difference in this? It's just Peter. He's a human being just like you and I. But the difference was Christ. He died on a cross and he redeemed Peter. And look at who Peter became in the long run. Jesus can make the difference for each one of you. You can go from what you believe is a failure, from what you believe is letting Him down, to honoring Him, to laying down your cross, denying those things that you have held on to for so long, and following Him. And He's asking you to do that today. So will you bow your heads with me? There's only one question I have today. Are you following Jesus? You've done nothing. Can you hear me? Even though your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, hear this statement. You've done nothing that Jesus will not forgive you for. You've made a promise before and you're thinking, yeah, I've promised so many times. And I've failed so many times. Can I tell you, all you have to do today is believe, ask Jesus into your heart, and you can be saved. If that's you in this room right now, if you would like to say that prayer today, will you just lift your hand? Anyone in this room at this moment, just lift your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, I believe in you. I believe that you died so that I can be set free today. I accept you into my heart. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for accepting me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.